Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
And welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guests, we've got two of them, not one, but two. Well, they've kind of been in our lives for a long old time. They started off on our screens in TOWIE. Since then, we've followed their family lives. They are businesswomen. They are sisters. They have six children between them. It's Sam and Billy Fairs.
Hello.
How are you both?
Good,
thank you. Yeah, that's quite a lot of children now, and between us now we have nine. We have
nine.
Three apiece.
That is so crazy. When you say it like that, actually, that is mad, isn't it?
It's a lot, and we say like my mum now. It's like, Mum, you've got six grandkids.
Yeah,
from just the two of us.
Yeah,
because she went from four to six real quick in the space of a year.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
yeah, in the space of a year.
That is a lot of procreation that we've done.
Yeah.
But we've done our bit.
There we go. That's it.
And we have a little guest, although she's not actually in the studio.
Yeah.
Margot's next door. So if anything happens, Margot's listening. If she doesn't like anything, she'll let us know.
She will. She will let us know.
How are you feeling? Because obviously we are, Margot's 7 weeks.
Yes. Yeah. I'm good. I feel like, well, today's actually my first kind of work commitment out of the house.
Yeah.
So this morning it was quite... do you know what it is? I think the building up to it, like of getting back to work, yeah. I've been like, not overthinking, but thinking like you don't ever want it. You don't want the bubble to end, do you?
Yeah.
And I feel good. Like I feel tired, you know, usual. I've been just struggling. Like, you know, it's like, I think becoming a mum of three as well, it is quite a big
the transition
change.
Is big.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And although like loads of people said to me, oh, you know, it's going to be really easy because Nelly's a bit older, Arthur's a bit older, but actually it is nowhere, it's not easy, and it is like a lot. But yeah, I'm fine. I'm just a bit tired. Margot was really good this morning. I was all on time. I thought I'm going to, like, obviously I'm up early anyway, going to be really organised, because that was the other thing. I've got to be somewhere on time today.
Yeah.
And that's probably the first time since having her, like this morning, where I'm committed to, you know, to do this. I've got to be there. So I was all organised. Everything was packed. I was getting everything ready for the car, but she hadn't had her morning poo. So I'm thinking, oh gosh, like I could see she's straining. It's coming. Yeah. But all I didn't want her to do it in the car on the way here because I thought that's going to be a nightmare. Like it's going to be explosion. Anyway, so get her in the car seat and I'm thinking, oh, the car's outside now. I really need to get in the car. Put all the stuff in, come back in. Thank the Lord she'd done the poo. It was huge. But it was one of those. I started changing her. And it didn't end. It was like
it's kept on coming.
It was like projectile. Like and then I thought it'd gone on me, but it hadn't gone on her. So then we had to do an outfit change. But I was so grateful. I was like, thank you. You know, like you just, yeah. I was like, thank you, Margot. Your timing was amazing. Because I just thought if she'd done that in the car, I would have been a woman on the edge. You know, yeah. Like I couldn't imagine like not being able to get out of the car seat. And
well, actually, do you remember when Edward was 4 months old, we were on our first flight, so on the aeroplane, and exactly the same happened. And I was like, first flight, like everything was going so well through the airport, like first flight for Edward and all three kids. Got on the flight, sat down, and he'd done the biggest poo, and it was all up his back. I got a picture of it. I remember posting it on Instagram. So I was like, so parents, like, don't worry, this does happen to all of us.
Yeah.
And it was like pure, like orange at the time, like you know, mustard seeds all up his back. And then he fell asleep. So now I was like, now what? And I said to Paul, actually, if he's all right, then I'm all right. Like, yeah. I'm okay. And it doesn't really smell at that stage.
No, it's
does
like,
it?
I feel like it's ham and cheese toasties. Yeah. That's what
it
I can smell
it. Yeah, I know what you mean, actually. Savoury.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. See, has changed now because I'm weaning him and he's eating food. The texture and the smell is getting stronger. So they're not as cute.
Yeah.
You can't just throw them in the bin anymore. They've got to go in the bag
they
outside.
Have to go in the bag.
Yeah, straight away, there's no delay. I mean, I love that we've started chatting about poo.
I know.
That is where we started.
There we go. Yeah.
And also, 10 years ago, who'd have thought that you'd be so excited about a little person pooing?
I know. And that is it. Like, I was thinking, because I this morning I was just, like, when she started straining, I was stressing because I was thinking, oh, no, she's got to do this before. And, yeah, I was just so excited when she'd done it.
Billy was pacing up and down looking at her.
I was like, oh, I've got to get going now. And I was thinking, come on, Margo. And then I was happy.
Well, well done for getting to your first appointment back.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, but that I feel like that little bit of guilt that I brought you out of the house.
No, because actually I was really looking forward to it because yesterday I was actually thinking, I actually really need to get out of this house now.
Like, really?
It does help.
I have been, like, obviously we've had Christmas and I had Margot on the 2nd of December, so I had a lot of time, like, over Christmas just a bit home, which I really enjoyed. And actually yesterday, because, like I say, I've been thinking, oh, like, getting back to work and stuff, like, the bubble's ending and, like, everything's getting back to normal. And I think that's quite hard when you have a baby, actually, when reality sets in. And yesterday I thought, I was at home all day with her and she was a bit niggly, you know, like I couldn't put her down, I couldn't get anything done anyway. And I thought, oh, I'm really excited to actually get up in the morning and have somewhere to go with her, of course. Yeah. But and then like I thought my whole mindset changed. You know, like I thought I'm actually really looking forward to being somewhere and using my brain a little bit and like having that, like just getting up to go somewhere.
Yeah. Which is also why you two having your own podcast as well must help in that way as well. You're like, it's you two sitting down and chatting in a way that you probably don't find the time to do if it wasn't a work commitment. I know that sounds bad.
No, completely.
It's so true. And we always say that, like, we're really grateful for our podcast. And it's like, actually, we never get to sit and have an hour's chat like this without the children. Or mind you, if they're at home, they're always disturbing us.
Are they on the podcast?
No.
They try to be.
There's always, like, someone peeping over the shoulder. Like.
Yeah. Or, like, you see the door creak open in the background. And it's,
But we was laughing, actually, because it was our first podcast back together. We recorded it on Monday, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then I got a text message from Billy after saying, I'm really sorry. My brain was just frazzled then. I didn't know what I was saying.
It was really weird.
I didn't really notice it that much. Yeah. Like, obviously, I know that she was being a little bit kind of, like, flaky at times. But then I understand that because it's like baby brain, you know, and she's tired and mum was asking you questions about Margot in the background. Like, I knew where you was at. So
my head
really
was spinning,
But Billy was like, I'm really sorry about that one. I don't know how that's going
to
come out.
I don't know, because it was my first one back and I was really looking forward to doing it. And I thought, you know, I'm going to share all my story, like the birthday story and this and that. But when I sat down, it was almost like I had a mind block. It was really weird. And I was like, then I was overthinking, like what I was talking about. And then I was thinking, like, this isn't me. What am I even saying?
Yeah.
And it's baby brain.
It's the fog, I think, that descends upon you. And it's like you're walking through.
Yes.
Yeah, just the fog.
It's such
it's
a thing.
So weird.
Yeah.
It's so, like, it really. But is it, I think I remember my midwife saying to me that it is to do with your hormones as well, like when you've had a baby, because you get it during pregnancy. And then you get it after, and I feel like
I still get it sometimes now. And Edward's 8 months now.
Mm. Yeah,
hasn't left me yet.
No, I don't know if it's left me. I don't think it ever does.
Yeah, no, I don't think it does.
I think it's big long list of things that you've always got to do.
Yeah,
it's
so true.
It's just never ending. So I actually saw something on Instagram recently, and it was like, it's not that Mum needs a nap, is that Mum's always got something going on in her head constantly, knowing what to do next, you know? It's never ending.
Well, it's that thing, isn't it? You start doing one thing. So say someone asks you, or say, you know, you've got to cook dinner, so you're about to do that, but then someone needs you to take their shoes off find a toy. The cat needs to be fed.
Yes.
Or, and then you've got to look at them. But there's so many different
things. The multitasking.
Things. Yeah, it's that makes our brain's quite frazzled.
But that's what I'm really struggling with at the moment. Like, exactly what you've just said. Like, I used to think I was quite good at multitasking, but actually I can't multitask now. Right, I start doing one thing,
but Billy, Margot's 7 weeks old. Yeah.
That is exactly why,
because it gets easier.
Yeah,
with the three,
because I'm questioning my
life choices.
I'm like, what was I doing? My mum asked me a simple question. I'm like, I don't know. Oh, you know, like, I just can't think straight.
Also, but that's the thing. I think sometimes your brain just goes, don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't want to give that answer, actually. I don't want to actually think
about
and find that answer. Yeah. Just so given true. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's it. I'm done. I'm going to bed.
But it does get a little bit easier, because I was exactly the same. And like you were saying, and one of the kids wants something. But now it's like Edward's, you know, I can put him in the baby walker. I can sit him in the high chair with a snack. And it gives you a little bit more of a minute.
If anything, there'll come a stage where Margot's the easiest.
Yeah.
Yes, you know.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. The other two are so, Nelly understands it a bit more. She's eight. But Arthur is, if he wants the biscuit, he wants it now. And it's like, 1 minute, I'm just doing. I actually find myself going, Nelly, will you just quickly get that for Arthur? And then I think we were talking about this. And am I a slave now? That's what she says to me. Am I a slave? And I'm like, no, you're just helping me.
No, am I?
Out. Yeah, exactly. Am I a slave? I'm like, no, it's called helping me. You know, like all these, all this juggling and whatever at home.
What was your childhood like?
Oh, we had the best. We had such a great childhood, didn't we?
Is it just the two of you?
Just the two of us.
And you're super close in age as well?
Yeah, 11 months.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We were thinking, like, Mum, what was you thinking?
Why were you having sex 2 months after a baby?
That's what we said.
She said it was the first time, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She said it was the first time, and it was obviously like a surprise.
I wasn't planned.
But Mum actually said she had us in a good routine. So Mum's not even people.
She's so annoying sometimes.
We slept through the night at 6 weeks. But
like,
my mum said, like, she said,
does she get a little bit like, well, you were doing this when you were that age?
Yes.
I don't know what's going on.
I've never had this with you two.
And we're like, oh my God, like, Nelly didn't sleep till she was about four. But Mum said her life was very different to ours. She said, you know, I was literally at home with you. So I obviously used to go for walks, shopping, like the usual things. But she said there was no ever having to get you was in a strict routine from babe, not strict, but like a routine from babies. Mm-hmm. Like Mum said, I'd done the same thing every day with you, which...
Was she working as well?
No.
That's a massive difference.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And actually, I think when I think about that, though, I was thinking about that on the way here about Mum, like us as babies and the routine stuff. But actually, that is also really hard, you know, like, because...
Harder, I think.
Because I was really looking forward to getting out of the house today with Margot, but never sort of... Not saying Mum didn't have anything like that to look forward to, but, you know, like...
The monotony.
Yeah, exactly. So...
And even with me, like, I haven't fully gone back into, like... throw myself back into work yet, and I've been with Edward every single day. He's with me all day, every day. And the last 2 weeks of a few bits going on. But like some days with Edward even, like the days can be so long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even though the kids are at school and you think, oh, I'm going to have all this time, what are we going to do? And it's like, and when the weather, not just blaming the weather, but when it's been so bitter and cold, yeah. it's like, I actually can't even take him out. It's going to be really not enjoyable for me or him. And the days can feel so long. And I think, now what? Like we've been playing, we've had snacks, we've watched a little bit of TV. I've been, you know, chasing him around the kitchen. It's like, now what? And it's only been, you know, a short amount of time.
And sometimes when you're at home as well, it's harder, isn't it? Because you don't really end up getting anything done anyway.
And well, then they start getting frustrated or bored and then they start fighting. Exactly. And then you've just got to get them out.
Then
that's the only reason why any parent leaves the house is because
completely.
No, it's funny because both our partners, like Paul and Greg, they do most of the school runs, don't they?
Yeah.
Especially in the morning. But like as time's been going on with Edward, I go to Paul the night before, I'll do the school run in the morning because it just gives me that bit of time in the morning out of the house.
And it's a thing of seeing other people.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, you know, having a little chat, and then even with Paul and Rosie in the car having a little chat.
Also, it means that you're ready and dressed because you have to be by 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever time you have to leave, because that's the other thing. Like, and don't get me wrong, I've loved doing this, but there were some days I'd get up, have a shower, get back into my pyjamas. Obviously, I know you do that as a newborn and you have to enjoy that. But then some days I almost didn't feel good about doing that. I felt like I actually need to get dressed.
Yeah.
And it made me feel a bit better and more energy and like more motivated to do more. I don't know, like it's just being ready and out the house early makes you feel good sometimes, isn't it?
It does.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, for your mum, having two of you so close together, I mean,
it's just insane how she done that.
Yeah.
But no, going back to that, we actually had a lovely...
lovely childhood.
Yeah. We done everything together we've always been besties.
Yeah. except for when we were teenagers.
We used to fight.
Like, did you?
Oh, yes.
We used to fight all the time.
It used to be bad. My mum, in the end, she said it just gets, because obviously we always say to mum, like, oh, the sound of my own voice. Mum's like, This is payback.
There was a stage where we used to share a room and it used to go off in that room, didn't it?
Really?
And all our friends would be there and like, and they'd always witness it.
I think one of our friends actually rang my mum up crying once because we were having such a bad fight.
But do you think there's also that thing with siblings where you do take it that extra mile?
Oh, yes.
Knowing that, you know, it will all be okay. It's your person to safely discover, like, to explore those emotions and fight with.
Absolutely. And it's like we'd never really hurt each other that much. Like, we would fight, but it would never be, like, to the point of...
Not punching. It was more like, remember I used to dig my nails in?
She used to dig... I used to have all these scratches. No, she used to dig her nails in, right? Because her long Nanny Margot nails. And I used to have all these like nail marks in my arms.
No, but Samantha used to like get a, like me in a headlock, and then like, get like the knee on the shoulder. You know, like
wrestling.
She would actually wrestle me. Whereas I was more spiteful, you was more.
Yeah, but
tough.
You left a mark, and the minute you leave a mark, and you can go, "Mum, look what they did."
I wasn't smart about it. But they used to use weapons as well.
She'd throw the hairbrush, Sky remote.
Okay, so really happy childhood. I mean, you pulled through it. I guess that's the thing. For anyone that's got kids that are arguing right now, you're living proof that it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Through.
They will be best friends in the end. Yeah.
Did it make you look forward to, like, getting older, growing up and having your own family? Did you always think that you'd be mums?
Yes. I think all the women in our family are very maternal, aren't they? And I think that, like, even from my nan to my mum, like my auntie, our aunties.
And our aunties had... kids, so we was always around babies from like teenagers, really.
Yeah,
actually younger than that.
Yeah, younger than
that. We was younger than that, wasn't we?
So we've always
loved children and babies.
Yeah.
I'm always like that person that will give a baby attention. You know, like some people love kids, but they just don't really care so much for a baby.
Yeah.
I'm just we're kind of like that the whole way through, aren't we? And we always say there's nothing better than a baby. Like, you know, they just. I don't know, but yeah, we've always been pretty maternal. But we never thought, actually, we'd have 6 kids all around the same age.
Yeah. Well, what did you think? Like, how many kids did you think you'd have? When did you think you'd start trying?
I always think I'd have two. And because remember, you was always really certain about having three. And I was always
actually five.
Oh, five.
Oh, my
no,
gosh.
No, sorry. Yeah. No, Samantha actually said to me.
Down the couple.
Yeah, Samantha said to me the other day, I'm not sure if I'm going to have any more.
Because do you know what it is? Like, I find this question really hard. And I don't know. And it's very natural question to ask. As soon as you had a baby, don't you find everyone always says, do you think you'll have another one?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hold on a minute. I've been
with someone who had a two-week-old and they asked her that question. I was like, that baby's fresh. Yeah. Fresh out of the box. How are you asking that question?
And I find, and even to now, and obviously Edward's not a newborn, I still find that question quite hard because I'm like, just about juggling the three. I'm just got through the hardest bit, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'm really not sure. I'm going to tell you now, because this is the honest answer. I do feel like there's one more in me, but I really just don't know. I'm really enjoying having Edward, and I just want to enjoy him at the moment. Because, you know, everyone would say, do it straight away, back to back, get it out of the way. And I'm like, I don't feel like that. I really am enjoying Edward. And I'm finding it easier now to spread my attention and love to all three of them. Paul and Rosie adore him. It's all kind of... I mean, in the start, it was, you know, I was all up in there. I was sort of crying every day because all my emotions were all over. But I feel like we're getting there now. And the thought of having another one, it's like, no, at the moment.
Yeah.
It's just like,
you just want to enjoy it. And sometimes you don't want to feel like everything, like, is just a blur. You want to sort of actually look back and remember all those moments.
Yeah.
And obviously, for everyone, I feel like it's different circumstances, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Like, and everyone, you know, circumstances are different. But I do agree with you. Like, I think it's nice tonight. You're at a point now where you're just really enjoying and another baby isn't on the agenda.
And even things like my jeans fit again. I'm like, I'm going to have to go back to square one. you come such a long, long way. Like, with, you know, I mean, personally, everyone has their own kind of baby weight situation, don't they? And I actually gained quite a lot of weight with Edward, nearly 3 stone. And that was my heaviest throughout the all three babies.
Yeah.
And I didn't train or anything after. I didn't diet. I just let it happen naturally. And it's in the last sort of 6 weeks, I'd say, I'm pretty much back at my weight I was before I had Edward.
Have you felt any pressure to get back, or have you just let it?
I just let it be. And, you know, and that's why I think it's probably taken so long. But I just, you know, I really enjoy my food.
But it hasn't taken
when you're breastfeeding.
Like, yeah, eight months. Yeah. It's really not.
I am not back to any of my pre-birth ways. I just kept adding. And I think every time I write a book, I add on an extra half a stone. I don't know. So there's so many different book babies, baby babies.
That's it. I feel like, I just feel like me again. And although I'm still breastfeeding, like, you know, Edward's weaning now, but I feel like I've got my sort of body back and he's not hanging off the boob all day long. Yeah. Do you know, you start feeling a little bit more confident and more yourself. And, you know, I've got a couple of weddings this year, like friends' weddings, and I'm really looking forward to that because I feel like I've been out of that for a couple of years. And it's just, you know, and I think, I love babies more than anything in the world, but I don't know.
Yeah, it does take a while to adjust, isn't it? And even it's like your hormones as well, isn't it? And you're tired. And I do think, I mean, it's hard. I'm not, because it's different for me, because I'm in it now. Like, Margot's only 7 weeks, so I'm still like trying to figure out like what's going on and what I'm doing and everything else. But I do think now, I think there's been a change, isn't there, in like society with, you know, like with pressures of like looking a certain way after you've had a baby. I feel like now everyone's so much more, almost more grateful if you're looking normal and like if you're relatable and honest.
I think it's also celebrating what your body has done rather than going, great, that's done. Let's punish our bodies back into this snapback mentality.
So unrealistic.
Back. Yeah.
Completely. Like, I think that, I mean, I'd love to have the time to do something, but it's just not on the agenda right now.
But there's also the flip side to it, because, like, you look amazing. Like, you're very slim, and you was before you had Margot. And I always think there's another side to that as well, where some women that do just naturally lose their weight quite quick, or, like you have, because you have really.
Yeah, like, I mean, my tummy's like, you know, but
you haven't done anything.
No,
so then you don't want to get, like, again, like with social media, you can be scrutinised for being slim after having a baby, but and you haven't actually done anything.
No,
it's just happened.
And that's the thing, it's not even it's not, sometimes I don't even think it's social media, because you can post a picture and then all of a sudden it's a headline.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then suddenly that's a glorified image, if you like, of, oh, this is what you should do because it's incredible.
Yeah.
And actually someone who's kind of feeling, well, I can't do that.
Yeah,
exactly. My body's different, you know, I'm hoping in a different way. Yeah, it's funny how other people can have a hold over women in that way and what we feel like we should
absolutely
be doing.
And taken completely out of context, like you're saying, take that picture, then
and then it makes it look like as if like someone's trying to say, oh, look at me, and it's not,
it's just you.
It's really interesting how the language around how they talk about how newspapers talk about women's body has changed. It's almost like they're celebrating, but they're not really.
No.
Flaunting, embracing.
Yes.
Those aren't, you're still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You're trying to sell it like you're celebrating that
body. That's it.
Mm.
But actually, there's so much packed into that.
Yeah, it's so true. There's always something behind it, isn't there?
There is. Mm. Let's talk about meeting Greg and Paul. Did you both talk to them about, I'm going to do it in one question, I know you're two separate couples, but meeting your partners, did you talk about kids straight away? Can you remember that?
I was very keen.
Actually, you fell pregnant really, really soon.
Really quick.
How quick?
Actually, but I hate saying it wasn't planned, because Paul and I, we met and it was kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah.
And we did fall in love, but we didn't plan to have a baby, but we spoke about children. So I say it wasn't planned, but then when I fell pregnant, we were really happy, if you know what I mean. But
and that happens. Like, I've got best friends who the same thing happens. They're married, three kids later, you know.
It was
good.
It was a shock. It was like, wow. I think we'd been together 5 months.
Right.
So you can imagine, can't you? It was like, well, but then it kind of just
felt
right.
Talk me through that moment, though, of going, oh, I wonder if I should take a test.
So this is actually quite funny, because we'd been Dubai, all of us, for Greg's 30th, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Got back from Dubai, Paul had gone to the boxing. It's like this pre-kid life, you know, you just sort of hit. Paul had gone to Vegas to watch a fight. Anyway, he came home from that a few days later. Bearing in mind, we're sort of, you know, still kind of dating and just, you know, on these drunk holidays.
Yeah.
And then my boobs didn't feel right. You know, I was in the shower and they were really kind of like, my nipples were really stinging. And obviously, where it's first child, it's something you haven't experienced before. Yeah. I thought something doesn't feel right. And I felt really fatigued and tired. And a couple of days passed, and I said to Paul, I was like, I feel like I'm going to take a pregnancy test. And he was like, why?
How do you think?
Because I said, I don't feel like myself. And when I started Googling, you know, nipples and boobs, you know, it's the first thing that comes up. So it was actually in my old house in Brentwood, where we was both living at the time, in Essex, and done the pregnancy test. And obviously it was like positive. And we just, it was kind of like, we had this nervous grin, you know, like it was like, right, okay, so here we go. Because it was always going to be like, as soon as we found out I was pregnant with Paul, I always knew that we was going to make it work.
Yeah.
I just felt happy and I felt really excited. I remember calling you and everyone was surprised.
Yeah.
Wasn't
well,
they?
I think because just where you was,
hadn't been
together that long. Like,
yeah.
I think naturally you would be, and because you'd never really spoken about it.
Exactly. It wasn't like really something we'd openly like, oh, we're trying or anything.
Yeah,
it wasn't really like that. And I was really thrilled and really happy. I just knew it was right. And like you're saying, we're quite maternal. And I had Nellie as my niece as well. So I was, when Billy had Nellie, I was there every day, wasn't I? I was like the bug. Oh, just me again.
Yeah.
I just loved being around Billy and Nellie. And when I found out I was pregnant, I couldn't quite believe it. Because I was like, I'm going to have that for myself now. Like, it's my own baby.
Yeah.
So that was my story. So you can
tell
yours.
What was it like getting pregnant with Nellie?
I'm just trying to think. So, Greg, when we first met, I always like said that I wanted children. But Greg, actually, when I first met him, he wasn't one of those that was like that fussed. But obviously, that changed. Like, he said that he never used, like, I don't know if this is like a never used to want kids
like,
until like,
nightmare.
Exactly. I think that was, he was like one of those.
It was his chat up line.
Cheesy chat up line.
Yeah.
Three kids later. But, so we planned to we did plan to have Nellie, because I think I was only 23, I was 24 when I had Nellie, so it's quite young. And I just felt ready. Like, we'd been together about 2 years and I just, yeah, felt ready to have a baby. And, yeah, fell pregnant with Nelly. And then Greg...
Didn't Greg propose when you was pregnant?
When I was pregnant, yeah with Nelly.
What was it like finding out you were pregnant? Can you remember?
I remember feeling so nervous.
Yeah.
Like, I remember doing the pregnancy test and keeping it to myself for a couple of weeks. I tried.
Did you?
Yeah. I remember I kept it to myself, and I remember feeling it was like the maddest feeling. I think because I was young as well, and I was the first out of like all of our friendship group. Oh no, sorry, well, one of our friends, but like the first in a long time. And I remember I tried to tell Mum and Samantha on 3 different occasions, right?
I'd got them. Do you remember them?
Yeah, there was 3. No, so actually, I probably didn't tell you. Well, I didn't find out I was pregnant till I was around 5.5 weeks with Millie. And then I waited a while to tell you. But I tried to tell them on 3 different occasions. And
it's really hard, though.
No, and I never forget on one of the occasions, I didn't tell you because you was really hungover. You was like laying on the sofa like, ugh. And I remember thinking, this is not the time.
That's hilarious.
I really, really like remember that. And then I remember in the end, I went to the nail shop. I got my nails done. I come home and my mum was popping in and I thought, I've got to do it. And I remember feeling...
Nervous
and a little bit embarrassed.
Really?
How weird is that? Because obviously I was young, I suppose.
I felt embarrassed with the third. I've got no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I never forget telling my mum I felt like a bit embarrassed. I don't know why. And also sometimes I think, you know those words, I'm pregnant. I don't know. Like, yeah. I prefer to say
We're pregnant.
I prefer to say I'm having a baby. I don't know why. Yeah. But anyway, so I remember telling Mum, we was in the kitchen, and I went to Mum, I've got something to tell you. And Mum was like, you're pregnant. You're pregnant. And I was like, yes. And I remember that's how I did it with Mum. And then
over the years, Mum knows now. If you go to Mum, I've got something to tell you.
Yeah.
I think she just knows. Yeah. One of us are going to say, you're pregnant.
And that was it. And then
Didn't you show me? I think you showed me your scan picture.
Yeah, I showed you my scan picture.
You've done that with me with Margot as well.
Yes. Oh, yeah, at yours.
At mine. I can't remember how you told me with Arthur.
It must have been really exciting, like the first pregnancy in the family as well.
Billy's was really exciting. Everyone was, because it was like the next generation of baby. And then, I had visitors for months.
I did.
You know, like when you have the baby and you have all the visitors.
Yeah.
I remember.
It tails off, I think. By the third, there's only a handful of that.
No one really cares.
No one cares.
No one. It's so true, though, isn't it? Actually, like, no one really cares.
Like, do you know what I find with babies, newborns, and people go, oh, can I come and see the baby and give them a hug? You feel like, oh, yeah, I want to say yeah. But by the third, I toughened up a little bit because actually then people... A lot of them people, you don't see them for months on end.
Yeah.
Family, let us in every day because we're always going to be around, you know, to see and hug and be around the children. They're our family. But you get so many people that just want to burst through the door and hug. Then they don't see them until they're like two or three.
I was actually quite neurotic with Margot when I first had her, like with people coming round and stuff. I this is quite bad, but I actually did avoid a lot of people coming over. Like, even like... friends.
And so did I.
And that's not bad.
Because
that's sensible.
I just, you know, as well, like there were so many viruses and stuff going around. I was so worried about her, and Nelly and Arthur had not been very well, and I just felt so worried about her getting anything. I'd become a little bit like, I just switched off from it, and I didn't actually let many people come around. Like a lot of our friends hadn't met Margot until my birthday on Sunday.
Well, a lot of our friends haven't met Edward, and he's 8 months old.
Yeah.
So you've done really well.
So you've done well for 7 weeks. Yeah. I literally shut the door and was only letting family in for ages.
Yeah.
But I think there's something very different when it's family or someone that you really know who can just come in, they'll make you a cup of tea or coffee.
That's
you don't feel like you have to perform.
Yeah, and
being
wait on
the mum, being the one who's got it all together.
Completely. That's and that's the other thing. Like, sometimes you just think, I just can't be bothered to talk to anyone today. Like,
absolutely.
That's how I, especially with Margot, I was like that. But with the other two, I did feel like more I had to perform and let people in and make them a tea and be all like, as if I'm showered and you know. Mm-hmm. But with Margot, I don't know. I just felt, I just felt different. I felt like, actually, I think when you get a little bit older as well.
An experience,
you feel more confident to say no to people, don't you? Mm-hmm. Or just ignore people.
I want to sit in my own filth for the day and just hug my baby.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So how were the first pregnancies? Because I feel like each pregnancy is so different.
Yeah.
What are you like pregnant?
This is annoying, but we are actually quite good, aren't we?
That's not annoying.
And no, really, but so you know, like people, some people like get really sickness and stuff. Yeah, they struggle. We actually had. Well, I was speaking for both of us. All pregnancies were very similar,
really similar. Yeah.
And I actually really enjoy being pregnant.
Same.
And actually, our first babies were both back to back, so our labours were similar. Mm-hmm. Second labours with Arthur and Rosie were quite quick, very similar. And then third was quite different. I had Edward at home.
We thought they was going to go the same, didn't we? Or similar?
Really?
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't.
They didn't. Billy's went on for a bit longer.
Yeah.
but yeah, I really enjoy being pregnant. And then when I have the baby and the time goes on a little bit, I always miss having a bump.
Yeah.
I just really like that.
I do look at my pictures and think, but it's funny because this pregnancy, I was really looking forward to, in the end, I just wanted her to come. Obviously, mm-hmm. I just wanted the baby to come. And I was looking forward to thinking, oh, I want to be like, I'm looking forward to not having my bump and having the baby. Whereas before, I it didn't bother me. But this one, actually, I was quite looking forward to being, but I was very uncomfortable towards the end of this pregnancy.
My third pregnancy wasn't very, my body didn't like me.
Yeah, really? Mm. Did you feel like uncomfortable?
It just hurt.
Yeah, I was, especially towards the last 3 months, I was just uncomfortable, but she was breech until 38 weeks.
Right.
That probably explains maybe as well. But just,
lot more tired third with Edward, especially with the other two as well.
Yeah.
And I don't remember actually going to the toilet as much as I did with the honestly, with Edward, I was up. I got more sleep when Edward was here than I did when I was pregnant because I was actually going to the toilet in the end. Like it felt like every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It was horrendous. And I even said to Billy, I feel like putting a potty next to the bed.
She was considering it.
Because I feel like...
I was considering, but I went, I'm sorry, but I think I draw the line with that. I was like, I'm not going to lie. I don't think you should do that.
You get up and walk across the land and actually go to the toilet, it wakes you up.
No, it does.
I was like, if I could just roll out of bed and sit on like an adult potty...
No.
I didn't do it. but it went on for months and I just... And then as soon as Edward... And it just stopped as soon as he came and I was like, this is like heaven. I feel like I've got my bladder back.
That's the thing. It's obviously where the baby sits within your body.
Yeah, yeah.
With my third, I could, for the first time in my life, go for the whole night without getting up for a week.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. No, I was quite similar to Samantha, not at the stage where I wanted a potty at the side of my bed, but I would get up some nights like 6-7 times throughout the night.
Wow.
Yeah, but now actually, and you forget, don't you? And now I think, do you know what? Some days, this is actually really funny. I was thinking about this the other day, right? You know, like when we were saying about our minds all over the place. I think I need to go to the toilet. And then I forget that I need to go to the toilet. And then I go for a long time without going. And then I think, oh, I need to go. I needed the toilet earlier. And then I go.
That's also the mum thing, isn't it? Because the thing that's for you gets pushed at the bottom of the list.
Exactly. And then I sit and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I was thinking about, wow, I don't go to the toilet that much more. I used to go like all day, every day when I was pregnant, which obviously wasn't that long ago.
What was your birth like with Nelly?
Oh, really hard.
Was
really,
it?
Yeah, 38-hour labour. She was back.
Did you do anything leading into it?
No. So this is another thing when I had Nelly. So I didn't know anything about breastfeeding. I didn't know anything about a birthing plan.
Yeah.
I didn't know about anything.
Had you thought about joining like an NCT or doing hypnobirthing or anything like that?
Nothing. I don't know what... I think because I didn't have anyone around me that had recently had a baby. And I don't know, was there social media then?
Yeah, there was definitely social media.
Was there social media? I don't even know. But I just think
it's
really...
also, you think your feed is curated, it's who you follow. And if you're not following people that have babies, there's a whole other world that opens up. And
exactly.
It's, you know,
and I didn't know any of that. And I don't know what I was thinking and what I was doing at all, just completely winging it. But I had quite a tough labour with Nelly. 38 hours, she's back to back.
There was one point where Greg was actually asleep on the chair, sitting upright with just a white sheet over his head.
Yeah,
because it was like it was gone from day night. Yeah. And then at one point, I remember I've got pictures and videos.
Yeah, it was a real, real long one.
I think I fell asleep as well at one point.
You did. I've got pictures of you both asleep with white sheets.
How many people were in the room with you?
Well, I had luckily my mum, Samantha, and Greg, and
we was kind of doing shifts. Someone would go downstairs. And
we just winged it because you're only really meant to have two, aren't you?
Right,
but we did. We just got away with it somehow.
We got away with it with Nelly and Arthur, but Margot, she kicked me out.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so close to get so
gutted.
Far.
Yeah, we were juggling it around at first, but then...
And then she literally, the voice changed and the look changed.
The look changed.
And then my mum started getting like...
Irate.
I was thinking, Billy does not need this. I went, Mum, I'll go. Mum was like, no, I'll go. And then I was like, Mum, I'll go. It's fine. Yeah. Then I just left them, missed it. But I didn't really miss it, but...
Yeah, no, it was, Nelly was a tough one. Arthur was...
What happened at the start? How did you go in?
So I was at home and I just started contracting. I started getting the contractions.
Yeah.
And it's quite mad with your first labour, isn't it? Because you think, oh, this is bad, and you have no idea what's to come.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking this is bad and being in the bath and at home, and I went to the hospital. My waters hadn't broken, so they was like, go home, you're not dilated enough. Went home, had a McDonald's, and then went back again like later on that day, and they broke my waters for me. And then it just went on and on and on, didn't it? It was, but the contractions were so close for so long, but I just wasn't, my cervix wasn't dilating.
Yeah.
And then I remember they moved me up to a room where they was going to almost do a forcep delivery on Nelly because she was there, but she wasn't
coming down.
And at this point, I was just on the floor. I was so exhausted.
I can't really remember the last bit.
And I remember...
So you pushed.
Yeah, and then they pushed and then obviously like the burn and everything. Yeah, it was quiet. It was very intense. I remember it took me a good few weeks to recover with Nelly. And
did you have to have stitches or anything?
Yeah, I had to have stitches. And I think I should have been... I bruised my coccyx really bad in labour through pushing down on the bed. And I think I should have... been sitting on a rubber ring actually, and I wasn't, and I never forget, and I still get that pain now when I get up sometimes from sitting down in a certain position, and it was quite tough, and I think I just didn't know what to expect as well. Obviously, you don't with your first.
No.
It was a hard.
And also, you can plan, like even with Paul being my first, I done hypnobirthing. I had this, and I went for a home birth with little Paul as well, first baby, and I just. Had the pool set up, didn't I?
Yeah.
And my birth plan didn't go to plan. It went on for a long time. It wasn't any emergency, but if you go, you can't go too long at home before they transfer you in. So I was contracting, but it was just going on for too long and my temperature started to go a bit higher. So then we transferred into hospital, delivered him safely at hospital. It was fine. But, you know, you had this plan. I had all the music on, and it was back to back as well. So all my pain was in my back.
Yeah.
And that was another thing that, you know, you don't really kind of prepare for. They're all different. And then,
often think that's the difficult thing, though, with birth plans.
Yes.
Because it makes you think about the ideal of what you'd like, which is amazing.
Yes.
But it sets you up for a fall in many ways.
Yeah.
Because so many things can change and you have to be adaptable with whatever is going on in that moment.
Well, I had never had a birthing plan with Nelly or Arthur, like in the sense of just what will happen will happen. Yeah. Obviously, I went into hospital both times with them. But with Margot, I did have a little bit of a birthing plan and it went complete opposite to what it could have been, like what was in my plan. Like I'm not like neurotic about things like that, like, oh, it has to be this, that.
Yeah, no,
but my midwife did suggest, oh, why don't we do a birth plan for you? And I was like, yeah, that might be quite nice. She was like, just because I feel like you know a bit more.
What,
as well.
Did you write
now.
It down?
Yeah, so they, oh, okay. she did it. They do it by... me looking at you like you don't should know. Sorry,
midwife.
No, they do like they can do it by pictures and stuff as well.
Oh, okay, so I didn't do that. To look at.
Yeah, so yeah. Okay. But I don't feel we got it out. Did we get it out?
No.
So what did you put on it?
I think it was things like I wanted to go in the birthing pool. I wanted like music, lights down. I wanted Greg to say the sex of the baby, like, which obviously he did do that. But then I had to be induced. So instantly, no pull, no birth pull, no... I mean, the lights were down, but it wasn't exactly...
I went in there at one point dull, from coming it? Up when me and Greg kept swapping in and out. And I was like, is there any lamps?
Because it was
like, dark.
It was just like dark and
big
grey.
It was like quite a big... empty-ish sort of room,
and
wasn't it?
The thing is, she didn't care because she's like, you know,
in
the thick of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need some kind of sound.
It was very...
So I put Friends on.
She did. It was hilarious. It felt very... what's the word? Like
clinical.
Yeah, very clinical with the drips and the beeping and lots of people in and out monitoring mine and the baby's heartbeat constantly. It was very like, whereas the other two, obviously with Nelly, I did go into like one of those because I think you go on the birthing suite, then you go to the, where it's like more medicalised, isn't it? Like, because they thought there's any forceps to it. Arthur, I was just on the birthing suite on the low bed.
Right.
In the pool, out the pool, which was amazing. But yeah, with Margot, it was very clinical, wasn't it?
Mm.
Almost a bit like.
I think
we're,
I not long had Edward, and being at home when everyone was there, and it was just like a different. You know, like, I mean, that's the beauty of having a home birth. You are.
Have you done all three?
Two.
Oh, two, obviously. Yeah.
I went with Paul, and then Rosie had a home birth, and Edward. So Billy was there at both as well. Everyone was there, to be honest.
Really?
With Edward, Paul and Rosie was there. Billy was there, my mum. Obviously, big Paul and
amazing.
Paul's mum. It was like, I was like, everyone's here.
So what was it about a home birth that made you go, that's what I want to do?
I don't really like hospitals.
Right.
And I feel like, if you're low risk and you're, I guess, not anxious or... Yeah. Like, I've always been quite confident with being pregnant and the thought of childbirth. And I guess maybe my pain threshold's quite good because you can't have any drugs or pain relief or anything when you have a home birth. But
Did you do hypnobirthing?
I did with Paul, and it kind of went out the window because I ended up getting transferred in. Although it did actually still keep me quite calm. I was quite calm, though I had the back-to-back. And
even like on the first bit, because I did hypnobirthing ahead of having Margot this time around, and for the first bit, but then when that oxytocin drip went in, that was like...
So then with Rosie, I'd done the hypnobirthing again as well, and I had Rosie at home. That she was my... that was quite quick, wasn't it? And that was really... And I felt really in control of... the whole situation, and I had her in the water, and then obviously I just thought it'd be exactly the same with Edward. And I mean, I did do well, like you say, I'd done amazing.
Oh, amazing.
I had a home birth, but I didn't feel as in control of Edward, and
really?
I really, really felt it. Like third baby, I don't know if it's, and you know, it was fairly quick-ish from established labour, which I think is where I take it from when they're coming in thick and fast. It was about 4 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of midwives, I think they say that third baby's either really quick or it's really hard.
It just felt so intense with Edward. And, like, you know, I look back now and I laugh, but, like, what was those noises that I was making? It was
but that's the moon, isn't it? That's like a noise over your body.
But that's exactly.
It was like that was my pain relief because I couldn't have anything. So that was like releasing that pain. Anyway, and then I thought I was going to have him in the water like I did with Rosie, and I was in the water, and I was like, I've got to get out. And the midwife was saying, you need to stay, like, because she could see that the baby was coming. I was like, I need to get out. I ended up giving birth to Edward standing up. She was underneath. Wasn't
yeah,
she
was the you were squatting
Paul
down.
Was holding me. I don't know how he could hold me because I had all
he
my
was
weight.
Shaking.
Yeah. Really?
Because he was, she was pushing down like obviously so much, and he was trying to hold her up because the midwife's going, "Sam, you're going to sit on your baby. Keep your bum up." Like she, it was like a real commotion in the corner of the kitchen, wasn't it?
It was.
I mean, did
it
you
was
give amazing. Birth in the kitchen?
Yes. Yeah. In the corner of all places, it was like
we was all in like a small corner
with
of
wires
the
coming out the telly. It was just. Like, it was
why we was in the corner, I don't know.
And again, I didn't know with Edward what. So babies come out like onto my chest, and you know we're all screaming, and then like a few seconds passed, and I was like, "Well, what is it?" And it was my son's like little paw. I went, "You need to tell mummy what it is," and it took him a second because you know, like the cord
is all a bit confusing.
You know, it's all overwhelming, and he was like, "It's a boy," and then we all just, you know,
it was amazing.
It was amazing, and I think just being at home and it just, you know. The midwife does a couple of checks. Then you're up in bed. I was up in bed within half an hour.
You literally had a shower and was laying in bed.
You know, they're all making tea and toast and biscuits. They're all downstairs celebrating and laughing. It just was so. It's such a nice. If you could do it, I think actually more now. A lot now, the midwife's trying to encourage mums to have a home birth if, you know, you're low risk.
It's funny, isn't it? It's something that I always thought that I would love to do. Mm. But because I didn't do it first time around and everything turned out fine, I almost felt like I don't want to jinx it.
That's
what I
mean.
Exactly. I kind of feel like I'm happy in hospital.
Yeah.
Like that is a safe place. For me, I know lots of bad things happen in hospitals and sad things, but for me, it is a place that you still go to get better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To get cared for.
Exactly. Yeah. It's another way of looking at it. Or we obviously look at it in two different ways.
But, but I love the idea of a home birth. But it was that. Yeah, it was almost more like a superstition type thing, I think.
Yeah.
Of like, you know.
That's how I felt, because I was considering a home birth.
I was trying to.
Especially if you've seen.
Yeah, exactly. And I was really adamant at first with Margot. And then something changed in my head and I didn't feel confident and I felt like, what if, too much. And Samantha said to me, do you know what? If you're in that mindset, go to hospital. But actually, and... Do you know what? It wouldn't have worked out for me, because obviously what happened, because my waters did break at home and I was staying at home for as long as I could, but I had to be induced in the end anyway. Yeah. So it wasn't
even
meant
if you had
be.
Planned for a home birth, you still would have gone
I
in.
I would have had to gone in, with this situation. But yeah, it's amazing, but it's just, you've got to be in that mindset, I think, haven't you, to feel 100% confident with doing it at home.
Yeah.
So sorry, to quickly finish on that. So with Rosie, I felt like I was really in control of my contractions and all of it, not saying it was pain-free because it wasn't. But with Edward, I don't know what happened to my mindset, but it was really painful.
Yeah.
It was almost like everything had closed and sealed up probably after 5 years. And I just felt it was just really intense. Yeah. And then even the push, all of it. And I remember as soon as he came out, I was thinking, I thought, thank God for that. And it was actually only a short amount of time, but it just felt like it was going on forever.
I realised in my third labour that I wasn't breathing in the right way. I was literally breathing just into my chest. And I thought, that's doing nothing, is it?
I know.
Like, breathe down into...
But it's so hard to remember all these things, isn't it? When you're in the thick of it, it's... Yeah.
Talk to me about sleeping, because I was listening to your podcast, and Sam, you've gone into a separate room with Edward.
Me and Paul haven't shared a bed for 6-7 years.
Really?
I promise.
How is this immaculate conception for Edward?
What happened was, so with little Paul, it was kind of just like me and, well, actually it was three of us to start, then I realised that because I wanted to co-sleep.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would rather do it on my own, because I feel like just motherly instinct. I don't think men, I don't know, I just feel like it's just...
You can control the situation
exactly.
A bit more.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
Then as soon as little Paul started to get a bit bigger, then it was kind of the three of us in the bed. And then when Rosie come along, it was me and Rosie and then Paul and Paul, and it was like that for a long time. And then it was kind of like the bed hopping was all sort of chopping and changing, but it was never at any point just me and Paul and Paul and Rosie in their beds. It was like Paul with Paul, me with Rosie, or vice versa. And then... when I fell pregnant with Edward, obviously, then I was co-sleeping with Edward as well for months. So we're still, and it's still that way. So although I've just started to get Edward into a routine in the cot, he's in the room with me, we're in the spare room.
Yeah.
And Paul's in with Paul and Rosie. So we haven't shared a bed for years. And it's really weird if we've ever done like a hotel stay or something and it's the both of us in the bed. And I'm like, oh, I don't...
But when Edward sleeps in his car, are you and Paul going to get back in the bed together?
No, because Paul's still in the bed with Paul and Rosie at the moment, in the big bed in the main
room.
But
do you plan on putting Paul and Rosie, getting them in their own beds?
It's always been a plan for years, but it's never happened.
There's always a plan.
Yeah. It never goes.
Wouldn't that be nice in the future?
But you know what? The other night, I had all three of them on my own because Paul was in Manchester where I'm business. So I was like, right, I've got this under control. So I got able to sleep before 7:30. That was great. I knew he was going to wake up at 1, but that was fine. So I forgot the whole evening. Got Paul and Rosie into bed together. And I just said to them, don't get out. Mummy's going to be downstairs. I've got jobs to do. I said, Daddy's not here. I said, you're going to have to work with me here. I can't lay in this bed with you all night. Mm. And I was like, okay. So then they just both stayed in that bed all night
together. Because they were together. Yeah.
Without an adult.
See, do you usually stay
Paul does.
While they fall asleep?
Yes.
See, we're in that as well at the moment.
Paul does.
And I know so many, I mean, you know, there's many people like in bedrooms or sitting on stairs outside waiting.
Oh, God, we've been doing it for years in our house as well.
When Tom's not there... Because they're all in their beds now. But if Tom's not there and one of them's a little bit unsettled, I'll just be like, go sleep in our bed.
Yeah. We do the same.
So if you could write a letter on being a mum, who would it be to and what would you say?
I would probably write a letter to my mum and say thank you.
That's a good idea.
For being such an amazing mum. My mum was on her own a lot with us when we were, like, from babies, really, wasn't she, as well? And even... growing up as teenagers, and I don't know, I just think, like, I don't know, like, there's you don't realise until you become a mum how much your mum, and our mum, like, when I think about it as well, like, even, like, all the school runs, mum only, like, we're lucky, like, Paul and Greg do this, like, the morning school run, right? Mum used to, was the only person that done the school run all them times. I know it sounds really silly, but, you know, like, you just think all those...
Absolutely.
And, like...
How much of herself she gave to you.
Yeah, everything.
And Christmases. I always say to mum, I always say to mum every Christmas, I say, thanks, mum. Because you know, like, what it's like, what you do and prepare for Father Christmas and that whole thing. And actually, mum done that for us every year. And it was, every year it was so magical and special. And I always say to mum, because now we're doing it, obviously, for our children. And we're like, thank you. I always say, thank you for that. Like, I really appreciate what you've done for us.
That's the thing. I think it is like the appreciation. Isn't it like you really don't realize how you have to juggle things as a mum and like everything you do on a daily basis. And then I was thinking, like, you know, mum actually done a lot of that on her own as well, didn't she? For both of us. And we had, like, going back to your question earlier, we had such a lovely childhood and growing up, everything was always lovely, wasn't it, what mum done for us? And, you know, she just tried her best, didn't she? And I think actually
thank you, Lily.
Yeah, like, I would.
Sam, who would yours be?
I think maybe Rosie, because I'm just trying to think. So I've got two boys and a girl, and I just feel like it would be quite nice to write that letter. I don't know, and, you know, share the experiences I had raising her and with her brothers.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can...
And also probably to say as well, like, to, like, your daughters as well, like, it's okay, like, to make mistakes and nothing... Yes. No one's perfect. And think of all the mistakes and... the things that we've done, like...
Absolutely.
Like, even, I know this out, but, like, even when, you know, when they're little, sometimes, like, you know, if you've been out and you've got a hangover and the next day you just wing it with them. Yeah. Like, even things like that. Like, when they're toddlers, right? You know, like, we've all done, you know, you're not perfect. Like,
that's it. And I think just, like, and also saying, because I do always say this to mine, I always say, because... I say, well, when I'm a nanny, I was like, if you need me, I'll be here for you. Like,
yeah.
And I love saying that, because I always think, I actually... I can wait because I'm enjoying my moment with my children, but I actually also really look forward to that part of life as well where I'm going to be the nan. And I feel like I just want them all to know that whatever they need or any advice or any help or any babysitting, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
We end each podcast, and I'm really sad to be getting to the end because I've loved this. We end each podcast with you completing three sentences.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the first sentence is, being a mum means...
That's so hard.
You never stop worrying. That is like...
I was going to say, being a mum means you never get a moment to yourself.
Yeah. both very true.
Yeah, very valid. Next sentence is, since having children,
I have learned to be patient. I think I used to be quite erratic when I was like younger and a teenager before, and yeah, very like very fiery and like, you know, but since becoming a mum, my gosh, you learn the art of patience, yeah, don't you?
Very true.
To try and breathe through it sometimes and just think, nope.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think I am a better person. I just feel like I always was meant to be a mum, and I feel like I'm fulfilled. You know, like that just makes me feel it's like the best thing that could have ever happened.
Yeah.
And I feel better for it, mm-hmm, you know.
Final sentence. I'm happy when?
I'm at home with the family. Friday or Saturday, takeaway. Me and Paul love a curry. Yeah. So we always get a curry takeaway. And just being at home, where it's winter at the moment, you know, it's like warm and cosy. And
yeah.
The kids are playing and, you know, Ed was crawling now. And it's just that I just love being at home. I really do.
I'm exactly the same. Like, yeah. I really enjoy being at home at the moment as well. I just feel like safe, comfortable at home.
Mm-hmm. Warm.
Warm. But I also will be happy when I'm on holiday with a cocktail in my hand in the sun with the kids, obviously, as well.
I forgot about
family
that.
Holiday.
My last holiday was so hard with all three of them.
Yeah. And not like just a nice family holiday. Yeah.
It gets easier. It gets easier. Holidays, yeah. When they start playing with each other, I think when they're out and about as well, they just kind of come together, don't they? It's their time to shine.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Oh, it's been an absolute delight. I feel
thank
like
you.
I just want to continue talking.
But, we could chat all day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.